You're about to listen to a podcast full of wonder, excitement, and discovery. It's time for an adventure through Odyssey. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Adventures Through Odyssey podcast, Odyssey Revisited After Dark. We're recording this at like 10 o'clock at night, so that's later than I'm normally awake. So I'm Will here with John, and you know, we had some exciting news when we found out the last two episodes of the Olivia Struggling for Faith saga got added to the club. I'd like to think they listened to us.
I was about to say, I wonder if they, here's the possibilities. They listened to us or they actually got letters from like parents or like they got like three letters from parents being like, what's like, my kids are worried about Olivia, which is probably true. I mean, I think they probably did get letters like that, but let's say it was us.
Letters? I know a lot of emails. Odyssey people are like who they are, but
Colorado Springs, Colorado 80995.
That's a good point. No, or they could have just been trying to hype it up. Well, because it kind of came under the radar, unless you're really on the club a lot.
I know. You told me it was up, and I couldn't find it. And then it was like, oh, it's a bonus in the old album.
Yeah, I only saw it because an Odyssey Twitter fan account posted a picture of the new album artwork. So I went to go look at the new album synopsis, and I saw under the Lost One Parts 1 and 2, released early on the club. I'm like, what? So.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'm glad it's here early, but that means next podcast is going to be a little boring because it's one-parter and then a three-parter.
What? Should we just go over what those are now that you brought them up?
Yes. So the next album is called The Long Road Home and has a picture of Eugene, Jules, and Buck running away from a gas station that's on fire. And the summary. Let me actually find it.
Let me guess, it's a Wooten and Penny one-parter, and then a Buck three-parter.
No, it's actually about the Perkins family. Have you ever considered that Mr. Whitaker has his own agenda? I mean, I've never considered it. I know he does.
Yes, I am aware that Wit has his own agenda.
Olivia has a new friend in her life. He's smart, interesting, and just so talkative. Will's influence and Olivia's own desire to settle some scores ruin her friendships with Zoe and the gang at Wit's End? Will his devious comments convince Olivia to abandon her faith?
I doubt it, because we just had a struggle with faith arc.
I'm sorry.
I'm really sorry. I thought you were talking about I got Olivia and Emily confused. I thought you were, it was like, oh, some scores to settle with Maury.
That would be funny. Meanwhile, Buck and Jules discover that Buck's father left behind a lot more than could ever have been suspected. Could the map help him determine what is next for his life? Seriously, if the father is somebody we know and they've retconned it, I'm going to be a little annoyed.
If the father is Leonard Meltzner...
So many questions.
Eugene, you had a third brother. What? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Because he's beginning to wonder if he really wants to be in a family with Eugene and Katrina.
Okay.
I mean, he is 16, so.
He is 16, I get it. But at the same time, like, I guess it's realistic, like, in a lot of regards. But it is just, yeah.
Elsewhere in Odyssey, Bridget Perkins learns a good lesson about judging others when she feels that her own life is under a microscope. That's basically sure. All the descriptions.
I mean, sounds interesting. I mean, this sounds like the end of Buck's family issues.
Didn't we say that last time, though?
Yeah, but maybe they mean it this time. I mean, okay. Now I'm trying to think of characters that Buck's father could be. Blackard.
Nicholas.
Nicholas!
I'm trying to think of like Bartley. A random throwaway character it could be. Officer Cliffy.
Officer Cliffy. Trent. Not Trent. Not Trent. Not Jared. Who's the guy who was friends with Lucy?
Kurt.
Kurt.
That's true.
Probably not. I mean, I'm more like, here's the problem. To have it be someone, it'll have to be someone who died. Do we know if it's someone who died or just abandoned him?
I think they mentioned in that episode he was dead, but they could retcon it.
I know, I'm trying to think of, like, male characters who, like, died. Like, like a long time ago in Odyssey. Like, there's really not Harlow Doyle.
Possibly.
It's gonna. Rathbone. It's probably not gonna be anyone we know, because I feel like at this point it'd be so obviously like, who? Hey, we have this guy be his father. Great idea. Yeah.
Like, it's anything at this point would Taka be clearly back at the end of the Maury thing. It just felt forced.
Yeah, like anything at this point would just be kind of obvious they are throwing something in and it wasn't the original intention. Not that it had to be the original intention all the way back in the Green Ring conspiracy, but it's not even like anything's been hinted at.
Connie's dad.
I guess, like, to be no, because then that's going to be weird for Jewel. I mean, if they want to end the Jules and Buck, like, romantic tension, that would be a way to do it. So we're half siblings.
Dun, 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 dun. Sometimes we meet people who become very special to us. Then we realize they shouldn't be. Thanks, Chris.
I think, I mean, like, it's possible they, like, pull a name from, like, a long time ago, like, some kid from the early episode's name, and it's like, oh, I knew your father. Like, Whit or something says, I knew you. Like they did something like that at one point where, or it's gonna be, like, the episode where the guy from the first episode comes to film a commercial from Odyssey for Wit's End.
Yeah.
They could pull something like that, where it's, like, some character that's just a deep cut that's not really, like, anyone's, not, no one's gonna be, like, but it's more to say that, like, your father was, like, a good person.
Yes.
Like, the reason the thing with the commercial works is that it's, like, it's him, like, the thing with the commercial is it works that it's some guy from the past, because we know how much Wit's End means to him. So the only reason I feel like they would pull that at someone like that is if they want to say that, like, I knew your father, or, like, your father was a really good person.
Yeah, that's true.
And we know that. But, like, any, like, big twit, like, Blackheart would be such, like, a
I know. No, I agree. I think they're just going to leave it. The one thing I am interested in, because in the image it's Eugene, Jules, and Buck, is the reason Buck is going to start kind of realizing Jules isn't healthy for him is because Eugene notices.
Mm.
And that kind of starts spurring Buck along.
Yeah. Well, do you think it's going to end with Jules and Buck breaking up?
I think it's, well, they're not really a couple.
Wow.
I think there's going to be a it's either going to end with, or it'd be the turning point of Buck not being so easily influenced by Jules.
Mm, that's true.
So,
okay, we should talk about the episode, though.
All right, The Lost Ones, Parts 1 and 2. I basically just read the whole thing in the description about Wit having an agenda and the big ending, so
now, let me say this really quick about the title. It's not as if the other parts, it's not like it's, like, called The Lost Ones Part, like, 1 through, like, 5 or whatever. So it's weird to me these two episodes are, two parts, because they almost feel like they could be two separate episodes that would place anywhere in the album.
Yeah.
Like, no more so, like, it's one story, but the other ones are also part of that story and have different names.
I totally agree.
So that's one qualm. I will say this. It ended better than I suspected it would.
I would agree.
I think this is a fine ending. It gets its point across. I feel like it's... This is an interesting... So let's talk about part one, because that's kind of its own thing. It's an interesting episode in the sense that, like, we very much have the idea now that Olivia finds herself separated from Christianity and really not acting like a Christian.
Yes.
Which is kind of the episode where we get this. And she does this hurtful thing. And it is bad.
Right, but... So I was going to say this. One thing about the hurtful thing I kind of... I don't want to say liked. But, you know, a lot... There, it would have been so easy for when Connie confronts her and it's like, you know, you did a bad thing, so you didn't have a moral compass guiding you. That can be a little heavy-handed. That being said, it doesn't feel out of character that Olivia would do something that petty, because we've seen her do or consider doing things akin to that in the past.
Yeah. Well, right. But then I also think the thing with Connie is I do give credit to Connie and the writers that they're not like, you can't have a moral compass, but she does call out Olivia for the fact that it's like, okay, you're not a Christian now, but like, what's your standard? Just hurting people?
Yes.
Because like Connie mentions, like, you know, I did this stuff without Christianity, but it didn't have the same meaning.
Yes.
So I did appreciate the fact that it calls her out, even like as just like not even just like being separated from Christ, but like calls her out in just the fact that it's like, look, this is like a bad thing to do regardless of what your position is.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And I do, again, to go back to the actual act, I do like that it is far and away the worst thing we've seen Olivia do on the show. It wasn't, oh, well, yeah, that was bad, but we've seen a lot worse.
I do think it would have been... Now, part of it is because we get that Zoe's rationale is that, like, well, she's not a Christian anymore, so, like, I wouldn't want her... Like, she wouldn't want to do this play.
Yes.
Oh, I get that rationale. I do think it could have helped Connie calling out Zoe for that. It's like, why? Like Connie being more like, you said Olivia didn't want... Like, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't have to, because it really... The episode's supposed to be about Olivia doing, like, a dumb thing. But it would be hurtful.
Right. Yes, so...
But it is true that Olivia is kind of like... Zoe's like, I don't know what you want from me.
And actually, if this had been its own episode, I think, not necessarily a deeper dive, but it would have stood out more. And right, clearly this is about Olivia figuring things out. We don't necessarily need to call out Zoe for deciding not to have her in the play. But could we maybe have, like, gone deeper into Zoe doesn't want to hang out with her because she's not a Christian anymore and how damaging that can be? I don't know. I don't think we need to have a scene where Connie called both of them on the carpet. But
yeah, I feel like it would have been helpful if there had been a scene... Yeah, you're right. Where Connie, like, they're both there, and Connie calls them both out. We need some angry Connie again.
We got semi-angry Connie in this episode.
No, I want Connie, like, yelling at both of them.
Yo, kids, it's ministry time! I still think about that every time I just go in to run a kids' event at church. I just want to shout it, but I know no one's gonna get it.
But, like... It is hard because Zoe, in other episodes, is trying to be her friend. But it is kind of, like, rough that Zoe's trying so hard to avoid her. And, like, here's the thing. It is then kind of hurtful to have Zoe want to talk to Olivia solely because she thinks, oh, she would have a scoop.
It is a little strange. So, like, actually, I didn't think about it that way. So, on one hand, yeah, what Olivia did was still super petty. At the same time, I can see why maybe she felt the urge to do it.
Like, at first, I thought, here's the thing. Yeah, I think the episode could have called out Zoe a little bit. I get why it didn't, because it's really supposed to be about Olivia, so I'm not, like, upset about it.
Maybe it'll be an episode in a year where they do that.
I feel like I will say this. I don't think it would have been totally... It would have been petty not to tell Olivia... Or not... For Olivia not to tell Zoe... And then not tell whatever the guy's name was.
Yeah, the other newspaper reporter.
But, like, the fact that she does tell, it's, like, that's kind of petty regardless.
Yes.
Like, you know, like, that's the thing. It's, like, I honestly, like, if she had not told anyone about it, it would have been one thing.
Yeah, and I'm sure that was part of their point.
Also, I hate to say it. Zoe should have known that that was a poorly written article. I hate to say it. I get like she tried to investigate and couldn't find anything, didn't want that work to go to waste when she's like, well, it's like a public interest piece about the gerbils. I'm like, you know, you're trying to compete, like, go, like, write something else,
right? Because they just happened to write the same thing, correct? It wasn't they were writing the same story to see who did a better version.
Right. They just happened to do both of them.
Yes. It's kind of, again, I'm not saying Zoe's a bad writer, but this does go back to the radio play from an album back.
Yeah.
Where she thought it was great, and based on what we heard of her version, it was a little... Not correct.
I mean, like, here's the problem. It's also, like, this is, like, middle schoolers writing newspaper articles and writing, like, audio dramas, and they're like, this is so good. Right. Like, well, the Esther actually, play, who knows? Maybe the Esther play was killer, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Priscilla Peterson was in it. When was the last time we heard from her?
I know.
Hey, Barrett was in the orchestra. I was also going to say, and we're not going to harp on Zoe much longer, but Mick Adelaide probably could have given Zoe the chance of, you know, if you want to, you can go write a different story for consideration.
Right. It was weird. Like, they're both in contention, and then it just so, like, I think the idea was that, like, she just thought that story was quite bad and his was quite good.
Yeah.
I don't think it was necessarily like, oh, this is the article we're considering. I think she just went with it. Now, it is rough. It would have been interesting to have a scene of Miss Adelaide. To be honest, I like how Connie called it out, but, like, I feel like it could have been interesting because Miss Adelaide's not a Christian. It could have been interesting coming from her where it's like, what is your moral compass?
Yeah.
Like, because, like, that's just a mean thing to do to your friend.
I don't think Miss Adelaide could have found out.
Well, Miss Adelaide says, it's a bad time to stop talking to your best friend. And then Zoe says under her breath, but I did.
That's true. I agree that would have been great. From the Focus on the Family writer room standpoint, I kind of get why they don't want to have a character who's not a Christian.
Yeah, I agree.
Have to explain what their moral compass is.
I agree with that. You're right.
So I think that covers everything. So, yeah, because part one ends with Zoe and Olivia's friendship dissolving for all of 10 minutes. But...
Mm-hmm. Okay, part two.
Yes. Okay, now, so
I will, wait, can I say... Oh. Okay. Really quick, yes. Say what you're gonna say.
I was gonna say a lot goes down in this part, and there's just a lot of wow.
I will say this: I do feel like it's like the fact that the album specifically mentions like Mr. Whittaker has an agenda. I don't feel like that is that relevant after the first like 3 or 4 minutes of the episode.
Right, the Russian philosopher briefly mentions it and never really brought even the whole thing about. You know, can you live as a Christian knowing bad things happen? That's such a footnote to what happens.
Yeah. I mean, let me say this. What makes this episode work at the end emotionally? Let's just jump to that.
Yes.
First, I was curious, and maybe we talked about this last time, if it was going to tie into the whole ski trip thing. Did we talk about that?
We did. I think we theorized either they gave money for the ski trip or grandma died or something like that.
Well, because there was the whole episode about it, remember?
Yes.
I thought it was a different trip, because it seems like that episode was so long ago.
That is a different episode.
I know it was a different episode, but they do raise money for that ski trip, and it's like, I remember listening to that, like, a long time ago.
Right. Yes, I know what you're talking about.
But my point being is, I think I didn't realize it was specifically for a ski trip, and that was a ski trip.
Yes.
It's a valid reason that's not too overblown.
Yes.
It's not like I, as a prank, I like loosened the boots on his skis. Like, it's like a valid reason why a young Christian would feel guilt about that.
Right, but you just described what this would be if it was Jay's story arc.
But it also works because of the Mr. Whitaker angle of it, that Mr. Whitaker was the one who donated the money at the last minute.
Yeah.
And even, like, Mr. Whitaker saying that, like, I can't look his son in the face.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, you can don't I just point really...
out the son has been the center point of the two roughest moments of this entire arc.
I know. But, like, that's, like, that's some emotional poignancy right there.
We really haven't seen... Well, we saw some of it when Tom died.
Yeah, it's like Whit, for some reason, like, even though he should be, is, like, not always super, like, you don't always get that emotional punch.
Yes.
And I do like how they phrased it, where it's... I mean, it's like, it's, you know, I always like people struggling with the idea of, like, why do bad things happen? It's like Satan's in your mind telling you that.
Yes.
You know, I think that was an interesting way to put it. I think theology-wise, if I went into it, I think I had a few things I was like, I don't know about that. That sounds good. But, like, I liked how they explained it.
I think especially for a show aimed at, like, older kids, like, pre-middle school older kids, that was a really good way to phrase the message.
Especially when Satan himself makes an appearance.
Yes. So, I had a sneaking suspicion in part one that's where they were going with it, because he suddenly starts becoming a little smarter than Olivia, not smarter than Olivia, but, like, you know, it's that whole trope of the imaginary friend is somehow significantly wiser than the character and seems to know more than they do and blah-de-de-blah. It's like, are they gonna go here with that?
Yeah. Then they did.
Yeah, and they don't ever flat out say that, so...
Mm-hmm.
Which I sort of understand why.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they could say Malachi was an angel, so I don't know why. See, that does have the need to end Malachi and the devil having a fight.
Now, I will say this. This is more of a comment. Connie, at the beginning of this episode, is, like, kind of savage when she's like, yeah, you would have to be a total idiot not to believe. It wasn't idiot. But it's like, you gotta be totally crazy not to believe that the stuff in the Bible happens. Or, like, yeah, what was it? It's
a
little
strong, and, like, actually, it was strong. I wish they had gone into that a little more, like, the apologetics and the eschatology of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And eschatology is probably not the right word. But, like, you know, they could have used some basic arguments to talk to the kids about.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's more like, I think that's a super interesting, I feel like that could be its whole episode. Like, and yes. I think they're like, we don't have enough time, so we'll just have Connie be super strong in this point. Not that it's wrong to be strong in that point. I'm just saying I kind of feel like that could have been its own separate episode.
They were already running out of time.
They could have brought back beavers.
Yes, they could have.
That would have been a real good use of beavers.
Yeah, it would have. Actually, the research thing brings me to my biggest disappointment in this arc. So the whole thing is about Olivia deconstructing her faith and doing research. So, where was Eugene?
I know. Right?
Yeah, I mean, just saying, actually, that speech might have been better coming from Eugene.
I feel like Will Ryan is very old. I feel like they only get him when he's absolutely necessary.
Yeah. I'm starting to wonder if they can only they get voice actors for a certain number of episodes, because there's that Buck Jules three-parter that Eugene seems to be in. So.
Oh my gosh. How old do you think Will Ryan is, Will?
79. 81. Oh my. They don't want to wrap up the Eugene subplots.
I know, like, are they going to bring back, like, his brother as, like, a teenager and have him fill the Eugene role?
That's not a bad idea.
But yeah, I do think, it would have been stronger coming from,
Eugene.
Now let's really quickly discuss the very end of this episode.
Yes.
Look, the prayer vigil is very sweet. I think it would be very meaningful to Olivia. However, I am a very introverted person. And if I and they're like, they're all in there praying for you, I would be like, that's really nice. I'm like, do you want to go? And I'd probably be like, no, just tell them I'm a Christian again. So, tell them everything's good.
Yeah. So, I will say this. On the whole, the scene works. It's a sweet moment. It brings everyone back who tried to help Olivia through this. And it's a very easy way for them to wrap up all the loose threads of other characters without having to do additional scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, and maybe this is just my, it pales a little bit emotionally to the scene we just had between Olivia and Whit.
Yeah, when you easily have one of the, probably the top three Whit scenes since, like, the reboot. Like, at least one of the top three Andrei Stoika Whit scenes.
Yes.
If not, potentially the best Andrei Stoika Whit scene.
I think the Tom Birthday one edges this one out.
Yeah, but, like, it is kind of like, oh, they're all praying for her. That's really, like, to her, that's probably, like, super overwhelming. And, like, yes. Emotional that all these people came for her. To the audience, the thing with Whit is, like, and Whit and her is probably more personal and emotional to a listener.
Yeah, and I think this is also how I watch things. I always take a deeply personal, emotional moment over a big emotional swell.
Now, maybe if Odyssey had gotten, like, 20 different characters to come in and, like, say something to Olivia.
I mean, I was surprised no one, like, said, Olivia's like, Matthew, Camilla, you're here too? And they just don't say anything.
Yeah, like, I think that could have hit pretty well, but...
Oh, Emily, know. Where have you been all this time? Then she gets up and trips. Wilson, what up, three? Well, no! Sorry.
But... Yeah, I mean... Yeah. Do you have any last thoughts on the episode?
On the episode, no. I think we covered most of it. You know, part one's a really good kind of all is lost moment. And I think part two really does a good job bringing it home.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I would... They don't have to sit you down and explain everything. Maybe the thing about the Russian philosopher actually being Satan in her head could have been just spoken out loud so the kids knew what was going on.
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah, so I guess our question is, how does this arc pan out?
I feel like I really, really like the premise of the arc. I think it starts off pretty strong. How many episodes was this arc? Six?
Six or seven.
Okay.
Six.
I think the ski episode's a good prompt. I think also then, like, I feel like probably some of the middle episodes could have been condensed a little bit. Not condensed. I wish we had more, like, we could have had a whole episode with her and her mom.
Yes.
About that struggle. It's kind of here and there. Like, they throw that in. I feel like, you know, I just wish we could have gotten some more personal stuff in the middle that wasn't her and Zoe. Now, it is talking to kids.
Yes.
About how to deal with, like, people who... So it's like you're having, like, the friend angle and, like, trying to figure out how to deal with friends that way. But I also don't necessarily know if at the end of the day they... Like Zoe at the very end kind of comes... Let me phrase it like this. I love Olivia's arc during this.
Yes.
I'm questionable about Zoe's arc, which is, like, the second tier arc, where at the end she decides to have the prayer vigil, which is great. But at the same time, I'm a little, like, confused what Odyssey wants me to take as terms of, like, how a Christian friend should handle the situation. Because especially in, like, the second to last episode, I think they realize that. Because Chris even says something at the end of the episode.
Yes, you texted me Path of the Tornado.
Yeah, like, I feel like they realize it's like, well, maybe we should have, like, I don't know. So, like, I love Olivia. Like, Olivia, like, the whole how they wrote Olivia's arc, how it came out was really good. But it does feel like Zoe's kind of passive in the arc. And that's just sometimes how it is. Like, sometimes you can't do a lot, and it's, like, other things that cause it.
Right. Well, I don't disagree, because I feel like Zoe's three big moments are her saying, don't do the testimony, and just kind of kicking her out.
Mm-hmm.
Having a diabetic coma during camp.
Yeah.
And then getting really, really mad at Olivia because she screwed her over. And, like, I know Odyssey wants to do the whole forgiveness angle. I know it's middle school and that ultimately won't matter, but yeah, Olivia does kind of do a crappy thing and sort of gets off scot-free for it.
You mean Zoe?
No, Olivia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
the characters get punished is just interesting.
Here's the thing. The arc is good. Like, it's a successful arc.
Yes.
I'm complaining about Zoe's sub arc. That's not the main focus. The main focus of the arc, it's very, very good. I think the last episode is very tricky in a way where it doesn't even necessarily feel like everything, like, it gets better, but it's not like, oh, everything is like what is like resolved in the most super happy way. Like, it's like genuinely an emotional moment with Wit and like how like him being able to relate to the situation.
Yes.
As I would say, one of the top Wit moments since Andrei Stoika's played Wit.
Agreed.
For that reason, it's probably one of the better arcs Odyssey's done lately.
Especially since they've started doing arcs a lot.
I would give this arc... Also, they didn't try to make it too long.
Yes. Well, I think that was the other thing. I'm glad it wasn't stretched out over, like, 8 years, like certain other arcs. And I'm starting to wonder if part of the reason the episodes were released is the club episode this month features Wooten, Jay, Zoe, Olivia, and Wyatt getting stuck on a bus in a snowstorm. And I kind of wonder if they're like, we can't have Olivia in this episode that airs in between her figuring it all out.
I would give the whole arc an 8. Probably the first part of this last episode, like, a 7.5. And then probably the final part, like, a 9.2 or something. Maybe a little higher. 9.5.
Okay. I would agree with you. This is definitely a very good arc. And in terms of, like, arcs that have to tackle heavy subjects, it's probably the best one they've done.
Yeah,
I think this is a good two-parter. I think it meanders a little bit at one point, but... Mm-hmm. The payoff works really well. I think it ends in a way that doesn't feel saccharine or, you know, just turns into a 90s, wow, you all did this for me? Like, you know, I should be with Jesus. You know, it feels like Olivia legitimately comes to that decision herself and isn't, like, dragged into it by one big event.
Yeah.
So I would say, yeah, it's very good. If I had a gripe, and it's a gripe about the meta, I wish it could be its own album release.
They probably will.
Right, just to have this as a resource might not be a bad idea.
They probably didn't want a whole, because it's so heavy, they probably didn't want a whole album where that was the main focus.
Yeah, that's probably true.
You know, like, there's not a lot of levity in it.
Yeah.
And they do try a lot of times to have some balance.
Yeah, usually they stick a goofier episode in there, but the goofy episodes are in the club.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll talk about the club episodes next month, but they reenacted a certain famous scene in one of the winter-related episodes. Not gonna say which one, but if you look at the episode, you know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All right, I think that wraps this up, so join us again for probably two episodes next. Well, no, because the episodes will be in January as well. Join us next month for sure when we will cover the club episodes, and then in January for the rest of Album 72.
Sounds great. See you all then.
All right.
Wait, what? What were you asking?
I want to ask if you had anything else to say to wrap this up.
Nah, I enjoyed it.
All right. I'm Will.
I'm John.
See you next time.